This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle in Bemidji, just off Highway 71 North, your go-to for fishing with the largest supply of live baits and tackle in the area. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is also sponsored by Visit Bemidji, great moments in Bemidji, by Northview Bank, helping to make your Paul Bunyan Country dreams come true, and by Bemidji Steel Company, a family-owned business here in the heart of Paul Bunyan Country.
The opener is just days away, and we've had a lot of people out fishing already. How's it going to be for the walleye opener? We're going to get the details from the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager, Mark Bacigalupi. We take an overview of what's happening in the Northwest region coming up.
I won't ever understand why shorties be mad when all I want to do is stick my toes in the sand. There's nothing wrong with champagne, dancing and such, but the nightlife in the city don't impress me much. F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
I don't feel right in the club, I'd rather be out, sitting in my 14-footer catching some trout. The fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm F-I-S-H-I-I-N, Paul Bunyan Country.
Hey there, fishing fanatics. Are you tired of fishing with the wrong gear? Look no further than Northwoods Bait and Tackle off Highway 71 in Bemidji. At Northwoods, we've got hooks, sinkers, and bobbers galore. Need a lucky lure? We've got plenty of those too. But wait, there's more. We also have a great selection of apparel and the largest selection of live bait in the area. So grab your lucky fishing hat and head to Northwoods Bait, because life is too short for dull hooks and soggy worms. Northwoods Bait and Tackle, 218-444-BAIT. Let us set you up for your next adventure.
Welcome back to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle.
This is Mandy Urich, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Well, it is getting close to the walleye opener, so it's that time of year we start looking around at the various lakes and the various regions and talk to the people in the know. And this time we're talking about the Northwest Regional Fisheries Office with their manager, Mark Bacigalupi. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kev.
Well, Mark, how long have you been in the position now? A year and a half or so?
Yeah, a little over a year, I guess, 15 months.
Oh. All right. So what are your, I mean, you were very familiar with our area before. You weren't that far away, worked in the Brainerd Lakes area for many, many years as the area manager over there. What are your thoughts now after a year in with the Northwest region?
Well, it's been a very busy year. Like you said, it's kind of flown by, and learning lots, meeting a lot of people, good partners in our efforts, and, you know, people we need to know. And it's been a lot of fun. Still a lot of lakes to go fishing in. haven't made it to enough of them yet.
We definitely have many, many lakes and very, very good lakes, certainly. Overall, how's the health of the Northwest region, would you say?
You know, we're in really good shape. Walleye populations are in good shape out there, and that's one of the things people want to know about. But we've had a lot of increased attention on our panfish populations, too. And you know, I've lived in a lot of places around the state, and if you want to go find 13, 14-inch crappies, you know, you can't do that just everywhere, and there are still a lot of places in the Northwest you can do that, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah, indeed, and speaking of that, I know a number of our lakes are part of that the project for, you know, getting the numbers up and getting the sizes up. What are we seeing so far? I mean, anecdotally, I've heard it works. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, it's still really early. We've had a 5-fish bag for sunfish and crappies in a number of places. And, you know, anglers have been really satisfied with them. We see that size quality is maintained. There's a little bit of attraction to some of those lakes for some folks. And then some people are like, well, I don't want to go to that lake because I can only keep 5. So kind of balances out. The reg's going well, and we're just going to keep tracking that very carefully.
Okay. Certainly one of the issues in Brainerd Lakes area, you were very familiar with it, zebra mussels seems to be, you know, continuing to progress. There's a number of lakes in our area with zebra mussels in them. Doesn't seem to have affected the fishing at all, at least in the short term, but sure has affected where we fish them and when we fish them.
Yeah, we're doing a pretty good in-depth study across the state on particularly looking at what zebra mussel effects could have on walleye populations. So we're studying a number of different lakes, and that's ongoing. But yeah, you're right. Brainerd was an epicenter for a while, Ottertail County. So we're watching that. You're right. The energy flow is a little bit different in those lakes. It causes some interesting phenomenon for fishing. You know, people have to do a few different tactics than they have. Sometimes it's night fishing. Sometimes it's actually fishing shallower instead of deeper in vegetation for walleyes, which is different. That was a learning curve. Some of the bass fishermen were really good at fishing for walleyes and weeds. That was something I've been working on a little bit myself. So where was I going with this? Zebra mussels. So we're studying, you know, the impacts of zebra mussels. The energy flow in lakes is different. Cass Lake is a kind of an interesting example where another invader, rusty crayfish, are in there also to add a little complication to the puzzle. But then you're seeing some species taking some good advantage of the changes out there, the energy flow changes. So yellow perch, we're seeing some really nice size yellow perch in places like that. And just unusual effects in the food chain that you can't always predict, but not all bad at all times either.
Right. Have you been able to talk to others who've had other areas where zebra mussels have been around longer to see what some of the longer-term effects are?
Yeah. Things have gradually made, as a lot of things, as is the case for a few things, they work their way from east to west, typically. So Wisconsin, New York have been wrestling with this for a while. And they've come up with the same conclusions kind of so far. And it's hard to be very specific, but just generally, energy comes from the pelagic areas or mid-deep water areas and comes into the shallows. It's sequestered there a little bit more. The energy isn't totally taken out of the system, but zebra mussels are drawing that energy in the form of algae into shallow water areas, and some of it's recycled, and little critters, bugs, and larval stages of insects and worms are able to take advantage of some of that energy, and then up the food chain it goes from there. That's what they're seeing. You know, some slight carrying capacity changes for some species, but not the end of the world either.
We're talking with Mark Bacigalupi. He is the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager. We'll take a look at some of the big waters in the Northwest region next.
Hey, I'm Jason Rylander, the Jason that can grow a beard like a grown-up. And this is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
This is, of course, Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. And the outdoors is what we live for in the state of Minnesota. And so many people throughout the state of Minnesota look to our area to have that dream. We have Mark Harmon with us from Northview Bank. Mark, you're one of those people that helps people live their dream.
Absolutely. When people ask me who I am, I often mention that I'm a father, I'm a veteran, I'm an Eagle Scout, I'm a volunteer, but I never forget to mention I'm an outdoors fan. I love the outdoors. I grew up in the Illinois area, moved up to Minnesota in 2009. We took a chance in our life. You know, it seemed like a big jump to move up this way. At some point, we get our career started. And then at another point, we find that piece of property, whether it's out there in the woods or on the lake, we start figuring out where we belong. And we knew that we belonged in northern Minnesota. And if we missed the importance of the outdoors, I'd be lying to you. We take it all in. One of the best pieces of advice that we got when we first moved up here, when you learn what your winter hobby is, you'll never want to leave. So, yeah, it takes a while to get dialed in a little bit, but we love it.
He's Mark Harmon of Northview Bank. He's the guy that helps you make your Paul Bunyan Country dreams come true. Northview Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Find out more at northviewbank.com. Mark, thanks for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Introducing the new Eye Candy Soft Plastics from Northland Fishing Tackle. Nightcrawler, grub, jig crawler, minnow, and paddle shad. Super TPE material offers extreme stretch, flotation, and durability. making it perfect for jigging, pitching, and pulling spinner rigs for big walleyes. Lifelike action with the slightest movement, this formula absorbs scent and holds up fish after fish without having to rig up a new bait. The new Eye Candy Soft Plastics from Northland Tackle. We are Walleye.
Thanks for joining us on the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle.
I'm Will Pampus and Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors because Kev Jackson needs all the help he can get.
We're talking with Mark Bacigalupi. He is the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager. We'll take a look at some of the big waters in the Northwest region next.
You know, take a look at some of the area lakes. Let's start with Red. That's a huge one in this region, certainly. And I know there's some political ramifications down the road, but nothing that we're going to be dealing with today. But fishing-wise, it looks like it had a phenomenal winter and looks like it's set to have a phenomenal spring.
Yeah, Upper Red was the place to be, you know, because it had the best ice around this winter. And that's, we expect good fishing to be continuing this summer. We had to go to a three fish limit for the first 4 weekends of the season here, just to make sure we don't get too high on the harvest levels, because we do expect a lot of fishing to occur out there. One fish over 17 inches allowed in possession. And just again, that we have that strong year class of those 17, 18 inchers out there that people really like to catch. So those are going to be out there in force, and hopefully lots of happy anglers, and we're able to navigate the crowds and keep smiles on faces out there.
Well, and I will be talking to Tony Kennedy a little bit down the road, specifically about Red Lake. But for those who aren't familiar, what is the calculus you're trying to figure out when it comes to what the limit's going to be, and why do you have to do what you have to do?
Sure. We want to protect the spawning biomass of the lakes and make sure we have enough adult fish out there. And then we actually want to make sure there's not too many at the same time. So we found that in Red, if you have a really high level of spawning biomass, you actually want to knock those back a little. So there, our regulations are set to take that into account. We know fishing pressure is high when fishing is good. So that number is adjusted accordingly. Of course, it's not there's not that many choices. It's kind of 2, 3, or 4. In that case, we actually had 5 for a little while there. So, and then the 1 over 17 or 1 over 20 can adjust the pressure towards a few smaller fish, or allowing a couple bigger fish to be caught out there.
Okay. Let's take a look at Lake Bemidji. What are we seeing out there these days?
Well, again, the walleye, they're doing well out there. There's different year classes of walleyes, and the perch. You know, perch and panfish are not to be forgotten out there. Really nice, some nice specimens out there.
Yeah, and the Cass Lake chain, I think probably the same thing.
Yep, that's very true. Cass Lake is really fun place to be. Lots of different break lines. Again, people somewhat taking advantage of the night bite out there because of the water clarity. But, and you get those bonus muskies out there too once a little later in the season. But what a fun place to be on Cass. And then also, again, like Bemidji, jumbo perch out there, kind of bonus fish, or actually some people are really targeting those or featuring those.
What's our muskie situation? I mean, the Cass Lake chain, I know, is very healthy muskie population. Plant anginate looks good. What are we seeing on Bemidji? I know we've got big ones out there, but what are our numbers on Bemidji right now?
I'd have to look at that one. You jumped that one on me. I think we're doing okay there. You know, again, probably trophy quality out there. You bring up muskies. Our crews have been, this spring has kind of drawn out. You know, it was started like record early ice outs everywhere. And we were all on our toes there, but then it's kind of really drawn out to be, you know, quote unquote normal here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of cool weather and rain. And so our musky egg take crews have kind of been out there on a protracted egg take. So we're out there on plantain right now, and even have a crew on elk. getting musky eggs for the production program too. So spawn is still going on in the musky world right now. And you know, we would the weather, you know, weather affects things more than anything else sometimes out there. So hopefully in a few weeks in June here, people get after the muskies too.
Absolutely. So overall, when we get the weather we get, and sometimes we're scrambling late because the ice doesn't go out till late, and sometimes we have plenty of time like we do this year. How does that adjust what you guys are doing?
Yep. You know, weather, of course, water temperature is the driver of many, many things in the fisheries world. Fish have, you know, fish soak in that water, and they're looking for warmer water sometimes, and they're looking for cooler water in the summer sometimes. And so, yes, that does drive our operations. The weather, we're very much dependent on the weather, but also photo period too still comes into play. So you have a record early ice out, and you think the walleye egg takes or the musky egg takes going to be a month early. Well, it really isn't a month early. It's sometimes 1 or 2 weeks early, because fish are smart enough to know that things change in a hurry too, right? You get that snowfall and the water cools down quick, and they're like, well, what were we doing way upstream here? This is dumb. So they're smart. They use the whatever calculus in their brain is to figure out day length and or sun angle and proceed accordingly. Because when their eggs hatch, you know, those eggs want to be in a place, you know, those little critters want to be in a place where there's food to eat. So they need warm enough water to have algae growing and zooplankton blooming.
Is there anything in particular that's a concern in for either a specific lake or for the region in general?
Well, you know, we talked about invasive species. We're monitoring the effects of them out there. We're always trying to limit the spread. That's always out there. You know, we can't, we're doing our best on climate change. That's a big thing. You're going to have to make adjustments out there in the future, 10, 20 years here. But, you know, hard on a day-to-day basis to worry about that. I worry more about really just people. I hope people, when they get out in the boat or are out this weekend, really just have the right mindset, and that they are feeling positive about being outdoors and sharing time and not being too worked up. I mean, hopefully you can just sometimes sit back and see the circus unfold in front of you and chuckle instead of getting too frustrated.
My guest is Mark Batchigalupi, the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager. We'll wrap up the conversation next.
Hi, this is Joel Nelson of Joel Nelson Outdoors with an update for you. Kev Jackson still does not have a clue. But all of us at the League of Extraordinary Anglers keep carrying his water on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Be the traveler, be the adventurer, be the trailblazer, and cherish those great moments when you visit Bemidji. Enjoy unique lodging, engaging hospitality, and outdoor adventures in a pristine natural setting. Fish over 400 lakes or explore over 160 miles of bike trails. Bemidji can provide everything you need to create your own great moments. You don't even need to bring your watercraft. You can rent one here. Plan your adventure today at visitbemidji.com.
Great moments in Bemidji.
Hey there, fishing fanatics. Are you tired of fishing with the wrong gear? Look no further than Northwoods Bait and Tackle off Highway 71 in Bemidji. At Northwoods, we've got hooks, sinkers, and bobbers galore. Need a lucky lure? We've got plenty of those too. But wait, there's more. We also have a great selection of apparel and the largest selection of live bait in the area. So grab your lucky fishing hat and head to Northwoods Bait, because life is too short for dull hooks and soggy worms. Northwoods Bait and Tackle, 218-444-BAIT. Let us set you up for your next adventure.
You're listening to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle.
I'm Bruce Jean, and this is Paul Bunyan Country.
Wrapping up our opener preview of the Northwest region with Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager Mark Batchigalupi. I know one of the concerns, certainly in other parts of the state and even up here, is water levels and the drought situation. Where are our water levels overall in the Northwest region?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad, you know, the drought is easing a little bit. I look out the window right now, it's raining again. That's good. We're still probably behind. I hate to put a number on it. Again, we're catching up from pretty, you know, I don't know about record, but, you know, in a 10-year period, it was very dry. It's been very dry. So this rain is very welcome. It's going to help. There are boat ramps where it'll be dicey because there's still low water levels. Be careful out there. A lot of times the prop wash hole from last year is still there. But then right behind that, it's going to be real shallow. So, you know, maybe even throw a pair of waders in if you're in one of those situations where it's going to be close and you're shoving out to sea a little bit.
Okay. You spent a lot of years in the Brainerd Lakes area before coming to the Northwest region. You know, some things are similar, a lot of lakes, a lot of fishing, a lot of successful fishing in both areas. But what would you say would be the biggest differences you're seeing between the Northwest region and the Brainerd Lakes area?
Well, you know, there's still a lot of folks out in the Northwest, but you do get a little bit spread out because there are so many bodies of water. You do have pretty good cabin density. But it's not, maybe not to the extent of some of the places in Brainerd here. It's just a little closer to the cities for folks, you know, 2 hours instead of maybe 2.5. And so you got to drive by a lot of nice lakes to get to a lot of other nice lakes. And so the Northwest benefits from that. Not that the, you know, shoreline development isn't a thing in the Northwest, but you know, and then you have a little more productivity in the Northwest too, which grows fish a little faster, and a little bit of water turbidity. You know, sometimes that's good for the walleye populations too.
Okay. So all in all, you think we'll have a pretty good opener? I mean, the temperatures look like they'll be decent. I know there'll be a lot of people out there, and I know that the populations look pretty good.
Populations are good. You know, the weather's kind of looking good here. We're a couple weeks post-spawn. I'm looking at a forecast that looks pretty good at 50 in the morning and 60s in the afternoon. I definitely want to be out there. I have a basketball tournament to be at to watch. But midweek, I'm going to move a few things around here and get out there, miss some of the early crowds. But, it's shaping up pretty good. The water temperature is in the upper 40s to lower 50s. And if we can hit, you know, 55 degrees in some places, you know, you're looking for some maybe shallower bodies of water to open on instead of the big deep ones, or at least a shallow bay of one of the bigger, deeper ones. So, I think things are shaping up really well.
Okay. That sounds great. If you had to give the Northwest region a grade right now, what would you give it?
Oh, the good old grade question. Yeah. Of course, I'm biased, so I'm going to give it an A. But, you know, you look at some of the opportunities we have to go and catch fish of quality size and of numbers. You know, there's all places all over the region to do that.
Okay. Other than the current 3-fish limit on Red Lake, nothing changing as far as regulations go this year?
We're standing pat pretty much. You know, you've got the 4-bag on leech,
yep,
with the 1/20, almost like the statewide reg, except 4 instead of 6. You mentioned the 3 on upper red. Lake of the Woods is at 6 combined with sauger. There's some really nice sauger up on Lake of the Woods too. Nice size, you know, when you get in 13, 14, 15 inch sauger, those are really nice fish as opposed to a 10 or 11. Not major changes. Check the reg book as always. That we do have some panfish bags of 5 in some places, so be on the lookout for those.
And I think most of us are well aware now that you got to be paying attention to that, because that's an important part of the future of panfishing in Minnesota, unquestionably.
A lot of interest in, you know, and panfish has saved saved many an opening for people. So.
Yeah, they have. LiveScope, that's a big, big topic. There's a lot of varying opinions upon it. I don't think it's going away. What are your thoughts on its effect on fishing?
Yeah, I use it in my boat. I think it's really fun, educational tool. I think it does help me catch fish. I have the pleasure of serving on a newly formed work group for the DNR that is talking about these things with people from the industry and media, some work group members that are avid fishermen or guides, and with a good internal group of folks. So we're looking at these things. One of the things we did recently was present to all the species work group that got together in St. Cloud, and we talked about these things. And one of the data needs out there is, you know, are people that fish with LiveScope or similar technologies actually doing better? We're seeing that they aren't in a broad sense from a creel study level, but there's a lot more, you know, data and nuance to be gathered here, and we're just getting started. But just know that we are interested and concerned and looking into some of those questions.
All right. Anything else we should know about the Northwest region before we wrap it up, Mark?
Well, just have a happy, safe opener out there, and remember to take mom. Remember, it's a free Take a Mom Fishing Weekend, too.
Oh, that's right. All right. He is the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager. He is Mark Bacigalupi, about a year in now. And it sounds like you're loving what you're doing, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Kev.
Michelle, Paul Bunyan Country, Country.
This has been the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle and sponsored by Bemidji Steel, Northview Bank, and Visit Bemidji.